Hey everyone, it's Ben, your host from Rise TV, bringing you the answers that will leave you on the edge of wonder. Well, unfortunately, Rob is a bit under the weather and won't be able to make it here, so you're stuck with me tonight, but I do have a lot to cover. So over the last week, Elon has been dropping more and more files on Twitter, which are being called the Twitter files. However, most of the mainstream media has been throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at Elon because they don't like what he's saying. However, they are failing to report on the information that Elon is actually dropping on Twitter itself. What do you know? Now, Elon is hinting at a big reveal related to Twitter complying with Dr. Fauci to censor information related to COVID. Not only that, but recently, Leslie Podesta, who is managing the Trust and Safety Council at Twitter, resigned. And you'll never guess what her role was or who she might be related to in her own words. So join me on this edge of wonder tonight for a deep dive into what all this means and how it was being used to fulfill an agenda. So we'll see you guys out on the edge. Hey everyone. So yeah, it's Rob is he really regrets not being here. He was he was not doing well at all. So I think it was something he ate over the weekend, and he regrets that he can't be here, but he is with us in spirit. But anyway, by the way, if you're listening on our podcast, please give us a 5-star rating and review. So, of course, we can keep making awesome content. So how is everyone doing? So yeah, Rob and I, we weren't, obviously everyone knows we weren't live last week, and we Friday got a little bit weird with the pre-recorded show. So in the future, we will definitely rethink all that if we need to pre-record something. We'll probably do like an interview instead. I think that would have been probably a little bit better. But I am live right now, so 100% live. So yeah, sorry again, Rob can't be here, but we'll just cover all this and get into what we can with everything. There's a lot going on, and before I jump into like everything that's been going on, there's a lot of positive things and there's a lot of like crazy things going on. And you know, one of these big questions that comes up a lot is like, why is all this going on? You know, why is the media like covering it the way they are? And there's still a lot of people out there that trust in what the media is saying, that trust in a lot of different aspects. And it's hard for some people, it's hard to wrap their head around that we are being lied to in certain aspects, especially when it comes to the media. And, you know, Elon posted something the other day and he said, it's easy to fool people, but it's hard to tell them that they're being fooled. And it's so true. Something to that extent anyway, you know? And so I think like it's hard for some people, because especially if you're just like, you know, you don't really want to think about too much what's going on in the world. You know, you work a long day, you come home, you have your family, you have to take care of everything. You sit down and turn on your news and it's like, you're just used to this routine that you have. And, you know, you want to trust what's on the news because this is part of life. This is how we absorb a lot of our information for a long time now. And, you know, it's once you kind of awaken to things, it's like this thread that you just kind of pull, and then it's like you just keep pulling at it and pulling at it, and it's like never ending, and it just starts unraveling. And some people are just, they start pulling and they're like, whoa, you know, it's too much. It's too much for me. And I think that this is one of the things that happens and why there's so much different opinions about what's happening in the world. And of course, I really truly think the enemy of the people right now is the media, and they have been lying to us for so long now. And it's like a lot of people just get used to it. And especially if you're watching, you know, one of the mainstream media over and over and over again, like every day for years and years and years, you just get used to a certain understanding. And you don't realize that this understanding has been manipulated to make you think that way. And once you really, truly start waking up, then it's like the truth starts, you start seeing things in a whole different way. You start seeing the world in a different way. But to get to that point, we have to ask ourselves the tough questions. And that's what I mean with like the thread, right? As soon as you start pulling the thread, it's like unravels all these questions. It's like, what else have they been lying about? What else is going on? Like, who's really against the people? Who's really for the people? And all this stuff starts happening. And, you know, some people, they have a hard time with it. So I think reason why I'm saying this is that we have to be patient with the ones that, you know, are still trapped in that cycle of listening to the mainstream media every day. And, you know, I've been trying to understand this from their point of view. So I've been looking at a lot of things over the last week, you know, ever since really Elon's been dropping this, like how is the other side reporting on this? And which we're going to get into. The crazy thing is they haven't been reporting on it. And instead it's like all about Elon instead of like really what's going on in Twitter. So let's kind of get into everything right now. And yeah, so one of the things that Elon just did actually was bring back Dr. Malone and also Dr. Peter McCullough. And both, so Dr. Malone, he was the one that was on Joe Rogan. And he had a lot to say on Joe Rogan. And he is also the founder, or basically the creator, of the mRNA vaccines. So, you know, this is the thing that's been kind of weird. And oh, by the way, everyone, Mark Lindsay can't be with us. She's actually with some fam. She's with her family, and she's like traveling the world or something like that. So, Marco, why don't you say hi?
Hello, everyone. Marco here. If you want some Italian accent. Yeah, that's your night.
The real Italian accent, that's for sure. So yeah, Marco used to do a lot of our live shows, and now he is our main video editor. So all the awesome content that you guys are seeing, you know, the transhumanism stuff and all the Seas episodes and Tartaria and all that, like all the really cool effects and visual elements, like that's all Marco. So he's with us tonight. And you're gonna be here on Thursday too, right, Marco?
I think Dom actually.
Dom is okay. Mm. Cool. Yeah, we got a nice team now. Everyone can like do different things and wear different hats. So, but yeah, it's good to also see everyone in the chat. So, awesome stuff here. So okay. Anyway, yeah, I just wanted to introduce Marco. So yeah, getting back to all this. So Dr. Malone's account, Twitter account, has been banned for over a year, and you know, once he started speaking out against the vaccine, you know, everyone was like blasting him. And it's like, dude, this guy created this. He created the technology, the mRNA. He actually created this that goes into this. And it's like, you know, how can you ban somebody that is like one of the creators of the vaccine that everyone is getting? So it's just so crazy. And, yeah, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have seen the Joe Rogan interview, and that's kind of when he started getting like heavily censored, really super censored. And Dr. Peter McCullough, he's, I think, Seth Holthouse from Man in America, he actually interviewed him, and he's got like, man, so many awards and just all kinds of achievements that he has received over the last like few years. And he was another one that they censored, and he was like extremely well respected, you know. And then all of a sudden it's like you start saying something against the official narrative and everyone starts attacking him. So go figure. But anyway, it's great to have them back. And you know, one of the when everyone was getting censored on Twitter, when I guess you could say when Jack was still the CEO, everyone was like, well, it's a private platform, they can do whatever they want. And it's like, well, it's a private platform, Elon can do whatever he wants as well. he wants to bring back President Trump, he can bring back President Trump. And, you know, honestly, no one can really do anything about it, even though he did hold a poll to reinstate Trump. And, you know, that was pretty cool. So, okay. So when was that interview? I'm not sure when Seth did the interview, and I'm pretty sure it's on Rise TV. I might be totally off on that, but I'm pretty sure. Maybe Marco, you can check into that, make sure that I thought Seth interviewed him. In fact, Seth might have even interviewed Dr. Malone. I can't really remember now. He's interviewed a lot of people. So, all right, well, let's kind of get into some of what is going on here. So with Fauci, because Elon has been saying some pretty bold stuff about Fauci. And even I, you know, it's like, whoa, you know, and it makes you wonder, he must have a lot. If he's saying things this directly, there's things that he definitely has on Twitter. And so far we're at the Twitter files part 4. And I think Twitter files part 5 is going to deal with Fauci. And by the way, if you haven't seen the 2-part documentary series, The Real Anthony Fauci, I think that's what it's called. Definitely check it out. But so this is what Elon posted the other day, and Marco is pulling it up right now. My pronouns are prosecute Fauci. I have to admit, I was a little bit taken back by this. I was like, whoa, I thought Elon was kind of like, you know, but I don't think he's not trying, you know, the media is painting him now as like, oh, he's now kind of aligned himself with the far extreme rightists, you know, and it's like he's just trying to find the truth, as in what we're all trying to do. And the media is like, has been attacking anybody that has been standing up for truth. And that's what I would say, you know, and it's hard because, I mean, they're blasting anybody, people that are even on the Democratic side that just see things, you know, don't see quite as the extreme left, are also being like, you know, now lumped in this category of like, basically, if you're against the mainstream media, then you're on the far right, like, end of story. And it's like, that's not the way it is. There's so many people in between there that don't necessarily have the same viewpoints, that don't necessarily like Trump even, but just, you know, it's like they're again for the truth. And I think a lot of people out there think that both sides are corrupt. And, you know, I'm one of the first people that would say that. So it's like, okay, you have both sides that are kind of corrupt. And it's like the truth is somewhere around here. And it's like, where is the truth? And now that Elon has Twitter, I'm sure he is seeing so much that that hasn't been public. And I have a feeling, you know, because a lot of people, especially in our community, I've been seeing some posts, you know, people are finding old tweets from Elon and pulling those up and saying like, oh, here, look, this is what Elon said, you know, and in certain things about the vaccine and different things he's working on. And it's like, when he's always stated that he's in the middle of things. And then it's like, now that he has Twitter and probably seeing everything that's happening, I'm sure he's asked himself extreme hard questions over the last few weeks. So, you know, I mean, that can kind of start changing you once you kind of see firsthand and you have that information firsthand of what has been happening. It's like, this is just the truth of the matter. So anyway, okay, let's get into John Brennan. So after Elon posted that about, you know, mentioning that about Fauci, he was getting hit hard by some of the bigger names out there, like John Brennan. So John Brennan is he's the former CIA director under Obama. And, you know, he is, so he had this post that was basically calling out Elon, but he didn't, well, he I mean, he retweeted Elon and then, you know, made this post. He says, Dr. Fauci is a national hero who will be remembered for generations to come for his innate goodness and many contributions to public health. Despite your business success, and he's talking to Elon here, you will be remembered most for fueling the public hate and divisions. You have money, but you have no class. And this Philip Holloway, he responded, and actually Elon responded to him, and it says, it looks like John Brennan is exercising his freedom of speech to criticize Elon Musk on the very social media platform Musk owns, and Musk makes no effort to shut him down. This is how free speech and expression is supposed to work. And then Elon just responded as, exactly. So, you know, and that's the beauty of this. It's so funny. I mean, we have like Elton John who recently said he's leaving Twitter, but he says he's leaving Twitter on Twitter. And it's like, dude, if you're just going to leave, just leave. Why do you have to announce on Twitter? It's like, you know, for misinformation, you know, he's criticizing how Twitter has gotten to be full of like misinformation. And Elon directly responded to him and said, could you please provide some like, you know, provide me on what kind of misinformation there is. And it's like, I'll take a look at that. And of course, there's no response from Elton John, but I guess he left at that point. And it's probably not even under his account. I'm sure a lot of these famous people, aside from Kanye, probably have somebody to that just post things for them and they don't have to think about it. And I'm sure that's the case. In fact, some accounts I saw, and I think it was I want to say it was Paul McCartney's. It's only like his, if he will like sign off on it, or Rod Stewart. I think that was it. It was like either Rod Stewart or Paul McCartney or one of these guys. It's like if it's officially their tweet, they'll put something at the end of their tweet, like XOX or something like that, you know, to say it's theirs. It's just kind of funny. So anyway, now what's ironic about John Brennan and Marco, can you bring up this New York Post cover? This is a tweet as well, but this is the cover of New York Post, and the headline of this is Spies Who Lie. And basically these are all the people on their front page, all these different officials, both Republican and Democrats, who deliberately suppressed the Hunter Biden laptop story on Twitter. And who's on the front and center of this is none other than John Brennan. So yeah, I mean, he was the head of the CIA under Obama, you know, and I'm not trying to like point fingers here at anything, you know, but it's like, what can you say about this? You know, it's like you just start connecting the dots, and all you need to do is just look into it yourself and just connect your own dots and ask different questions. And, you know, it's kind of easy. You just say, okay, who is this person connected to? And then you start finding out that all these different staff members and maybe like the people under them also have like some ties or some connection to other things, which we're going to get into with Twitter. And man, this is going to be really fascinating what's going to be happening on Twitter. It's really like, yeah, just grab your popcorn and watch. I never thought that something like this was going to happen with Twitter, let alone like Elon just like dropping things like this so quickly. I kind of was like thinking, okay, Elon's going to see a lot, and you know, maybe he'll like quietly take things to court and, you know, show people what he has and whatnot. And it's like, no, we're just going to throw it all out there, and you know, you guys can all see it. So one of the other things that happened, so Scott Kelly, he is one of the astronauts in NASA, and he also responded to Elon. I mean, like I said, I was pretty shocked that Elon did this, you know, prosecute Fauci thing, and it's got 1.3 million likes. It's the most likes of any tweet I've ever seen in my life, actually. I don't even think Trump had a tweet that had millions, a million likes. So So yeah, Marco, you can pull up this tweet. So this is Scott Kelly, and he's responding to Elon, and he says, Elon, please don't mock or promote hate towards already marginalized and at risk of violence members of the LGBT community. They are real people with real feelings. Furthermore, Dr. Fauci is a dedicated public servant whose sole motivation was saving lives. And again, he's responding to his, like, my pronouns are prosecute Fauci. And then Elon responds and he says, I strongly disagree. Forcing your pronouns upon others when they don't ask and implicitly ostracizing those who don't is neither good nor kind to anyone. This is the part where I was even kind of shocked that Elon even said this publicly. He says, as for Fauci, he lied to Congress and funded gain of function research that killed millions of people. Not awesome in my own opinion. This is crazy. So who would have ever thought that this was something like this was going to happen, you know? Yeah. So, man. So, yeah, this is, I mean, you know, I think, like, with Rob and I, you know, when we first started Edge of Wonder, the goal was really just to, you know, we wanted to bring questions to people that they've never thought about before. It wasn't about convincing people one way or the other, whether like Bigfoot is real or, you know, Loch Ness Monster or aliens, or then coming into, like, you know, the political arena, you know, but the part of the problem is that when you start researching a lot of this stuff, you know, the biggest question, you know, for example, just take something like Bigfoot, right? Seems like a very simple topic on the surface. It's like, well, is Bigfoot real? Is it like fake? Like, what's going on? You know, and you start diving into it and we start uncovering all these videos and everything else. But then the big question comes up. If this truly is real and the government knows, why is it being covered up? And that question right there just brings you down a massive rabbit hole. That's like a simple question like that. And, you know, and I think that's what the media doesn't like. They don't like, you know, I mean, because we started getting censored simply for asking questions, because we started realizing the media failed to start the media failed to ask questions a long time ago. And now they're just like reporting on what they want you to think, not teaching you how to think. And there's a huge difference. And when you can teach somebody how to think, it's like teaching somebody how to fish, you know, then it's like they can just go out in the world and start exploring. This is one of the biggest things that I criticized when I was in high school. And then I took one philosophy course in college. That was it. I just took this one philosophy course, and that one philosophy course changed my life, because for the first time ever, I was taught how to think. I was like, dude, if I learned this in school, like, I could have done a lot of, like, so many things that I wanted to do a lot sooner, you know? So I think this is what comes up. And like Marco just showed, this Bigfoot meme. But getting back to Bigfoot, you know, I know we're going to get back into everything here in a minute, but it's just kind of ironic, because this is kind of where it started from. It's like, why is the government covering this stuff up? Why is the government covering up UFOs and aliens and all these different things? Like, what's really going on? So then when you start unraveling, it's like I said earlier, it's like this thread. You start pulling at it, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, you know, they've been lying to us for a long time about a lot of things. And, you know, it's like going back to communist China. That's exactly what communism and the CCP is. And Mao realized that when he was taking over China, his whole entire communist party was based on lies, deceit, violence, and like murder. So when you achieve power through all of that, your only option is to continue on that path. because as soon as you, if you want to change, it's over. You're, you know, everything you've ever built is going to collapse and they're going to come after you. So what do? You make sure that the people around you are just as corrupt and evil as you are. And that's how the Communist Party has maintained this power for the last 100 years, making sure that everybody in that, in the, I don't even want to say government, because it's not even a real government. It's just this regime that's just built on violence and lies. It's like, that's how they've maintained the power, making sure that everyone is corrupt. And then it's like, well, now we have to branch out. And that's where these like tentacles come in. We will control the media. And it's not even just the media. It's like, we have to control every aspect of society, even like food and production of material goods and all these different things, because they're so afraid of losing that power and being exposed, that if you can control every industry in your country, then it's like, you'll always maintain that power. And that's the communist model. And, you know, I fear that, well, you can kind of see on the surface that there's definitely some people in politics in the West who have copied that model, and now it's too late. You know, it's like they have to go along with the lies. And if they came out and, for example, and said, yeah, Bigfoot is real, it's like, what else is real? What else have you been hiding from us? Why have you been hiding from this? And then it's like the whole society will come down and try, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, if this is real, what else is real? And then they'll start going through and watching basically everybody or all these other videos and all these other things, and everything unravels, and the media, no one will trust the media at that point. So Marco is showing a meme with Bigfoot that says, believe in yourself, even if nobody else does. And I definitely agree with that. It's pretty cool. All right. Sorry, guys. I kind of went on a little tangent there, but I think it's, you know, kind of important. And by the way, if you're just tuning in and you're wondering where Rob is, he ate something really weird last week. He's like totally under the weather. He's like, dude, I'm in bed and I can't even like get up without like basically feeling pretty sick. So, yeah, he should be better by Thursday. So we'll be together on Thursday. So, all right. We need to take a break. I completely forgot about the trailer break. So Marco, you can just chime in if I forget something. So why don't we'll take a break, show this trailer, and then we'll come back into the Oversight Committee of Republicans.
In this series, from Edge of Wonder, we dive into neural nets, sentient robots, gene editing technology, smart implants, programmable monkeys, evolution, and social manipulation. Is resistance futile? How can we rage against the machine?
All right. Man, I'm not used to being completely solo live. So I'm like, whoa, I'm really thirsty. I need to take a water break. Okay. Marco, let's get in the oversight, or pull up this tweet on the GOP oversights. So this is, you know, kind of gets into some interesting things related to Fauci here. And okay, so breaking, we've released never before seen emails showing Dr. Fauci may have concealed information about COVID-19 originating from the Wuhan lab and intentionally downplayed the lab leak theory. This is from, so they tag James Comer and Jim Jordan. They want Fauci under oath They want him to answer questions under oath is basically what they're saying. So these documents, and I'm not really going to get into these documents. They're showing, they post these documents, and basically it shows evidence that Fauci knew the origins. And what Elon is saying is that he's saying that he has proof within the emails that are on Twitter that Fauci was trying to do research in the US related to everything that's happening with what was the COVID and all the stuff, and he was being denied. So that's why he used the Wuhan lab and, you know, the gain of function aspect of this, which is the, and then, you know, but to be honest, I've never seen any concrete proof or evidence of how COVID got out. You know, a lot of people are saying, oh, well, it was like, you know, leaked on purpose or this or that. I mean, the bat theory has been debunked so many times and the media just won't let it go. And then all of a sudden it really came out, you know, years, like 2 years later or whatever. And they're like, well, yeah, actually, yeah, it might have went from the lab, but, you know. Okay, we'll move on. You know, Elon is, he got booed on stage. And it's like, that's all they're talking about right now. You know, Elon got booed on stage when he was with Dave Chappelle. And you know, I kind of was getting into that a little bit and seeing what was going on. In reality, it was, what people are saying is that when Elon got on stage, 90% of the people were actually cheering for him. And then it kind of like died down and then something happened. And then the people in front or like one side or whatever, it was like 10% that was like booing really loud. And it was like everyone that was cheering stopped cheering. And then all you hear is the boos that continue on. And everyone's like, that's kind of what happened. But, you know, you just take this clip of people booing and all of a sudden it's like, oh, Elon's getting booed. But he was also in San Francisco. I mean, if he comes to Florida, I'm sure he'll be cheered the whole way through. So it kind of depends on where you are. But okay, anyway, so yeah, so this is the information that Elon is about ready to drop. I was actually hoping that they were going to come out today. I was like, oh, it'd be so cool if they came out today, you know, we can talk about it on the show. But they haven't come out yet, and I have a feeling they're probably, this is going to be fire, you know, on both aspects of this. So they probably want to make sure everything is completely, you know, everything's there, all the evidence, whatever, you know, they'll just release everything before things get crazy. So hopefully this ends up doing something. You know, I don't have a lot of like, a lot of people are asking, well, a lot of people have been asking us, like, do you think any of these people are going to be prosecuted or, you know, and it's like, well, not really. You know, honestly, I'm not really that hopeful because you have judges that were appointed by various people and they're all looking out for each other. And so, you know, it's like it will probably be watered down questions and it's like, oh, OK, you know, we're going to slap you with like 4 months in prison or some fee. And then it's like, okay, you're free to go, you know? So I'm not really expecting much is going to happen from it, but I think it's more about public awareness. And to me, that's more important. And it's showing on Twitter, the public awareness is like really growing right now. And the media is really afraid of it. And the media has failed to report on anything related to, what Elon is dropping, so, except for Elon himself, which we're going to get into here soon. But anyway, okay. Let's kind of like start getting into the Twitter files. Actually, this might be part five. I'm kind of confused if this is part four or part five, but this is the banning of Trump. Oh, sorry. So Marco's pulling something right now and it says Twitter files news coverage, ABC, 0 minutes, CBS, 0 minutes, NBC, 0 minutes. And you can throw CNN in there as well, probably. I think they reported on maybe 15 seconds and it was not really about what Elon is doing. So it's like, you know, the media is not reporting. This is the biggest news and possibly like this century, and the media is not reporting on it. So it's they're you know, if you read the fine print in a lot of the media, it will say entertainment on there. And if it says entertainment, that then it means that they are free to provide their own context, understanding, or opinions about certain things, or even potentially just make up stuff because it's categorized as entertainment and no longer news. So that's one of the loopholes that a lot of people don't know about. So look in the fine print, a lot of these mainstream media sources, and you'll find it's like, you know, entertainment's whatever, you know, and it won't say like news necessarily organization. So it's one of the weird things they do. But okay, let's get into the Twitter files and banning of Trump. Now, I'm not going to go into every single one of these because this gets long. I could potentially read all of these, but I'm not going to. But there are some big, big, big things here. So one of the things she's saying is, okay, this is the thread, the Twitter files part five, the removal of President Trump on Twitter. And so on the, so I'll read like the first couple or so. It's like, on the morning of January 8th, President Donald Trump, with one remaining strike before being at a risk of permanent suspension from Twitter, tweets twice. The first tweet, and he posts, and this is the one where he's like, the 75 million great American patriots who voted for me, America First, and make America great again, will have a giant voice long into the future. They will not be disrespected or treated unfairly in any way, shape, or form. So then the next tweet that Trump has is... can you click on that, Marco? Will that open up? Yeah. Okay. To all those who asked, I will not be going to the inauguration on January 20th. And that, of course, is Biden's inauguration. So you can go back to that thread. And so there's a lot. You can kind of slowly kind of scroll down. I don't want to go through every single one of these. But basically, what starts happening is that they're showing internal conversations in Twitter. And there's like the first one that Marco's pulling right now. And actually this time they were kind of covering up some of the names in the emails. They didn't do that the first time. And the media blasted Elon for that, but they didn't reference what context. It's like, that's what I was talking about. CNN, I think, reported on for like 15 seconds. That was it. But they didn't say what it was about. Same thing with Business Insider. They're like, you know, basically blasting Elon for like doxing people. But in what context? Well, maybe it was because of the Hunter Biden laptop story. But anyway, if you go down to number 20, Marco, I almost called you Rob. So a lot of this right now, okay, well, right now, a lot of this is back and forth on like, they want to ban Trump, but they don't have any grounds to ban Trump. And they're trying to find, it's like, is there anything that we can do to ban Trump? And somebody actually brings up a point. Okay, so number 19, to understand Twitter's decision to ban Trump, we must consider how Twitter deals with the heads of state and political leaders, including Iran, Nigeria, and Ethiopia. So the next one, she says, in June 2018, Iran's, and I'm sorry, I don't even know how to pronounce their name, but anyway, they tweeted, quote, Israel is a sometimes I have a hard time pronouncing words. Anyway, it's a cancerous tumor in the West Asian region that has to be removed and eradicated. It is possible and it will happen. So Twitter deleted this tweet, but they didn't ban the guy who posted it, and he was one of the leaders. So same thing with this Mohammed, and he says Muslims have a right to be angry and to kill. millions of French people for the massacres of the past. This guy is literally inciting people to do violence and to kill people. And instead of banning him, they just deleted the tweet. And there's a few more of them that are saying the same thing. The Nigerian president also said some things too. And instead of banning them altogether, they just deleted the tweets. You can also find the similar stuff with a lot of like the Muslim Brotherhood stuff, ISIS, you know, the Russian, even the Russian official presidential Twitter account was still there, but they didn't, you know, the only person politically that got banned was Trump. So number 25 says, but Twitter executives did ban Trump, even though key staffers said that Trump did not incite violence, not even in a coded way. So this is another, you know, so it's like they were trying, because that was one of the other things that if you, when you go through this, they were trying to say like, well, is there any excuse that we can give at all? Was he like saying certain things in code that we could use to say he was inciting violence here? And basically they couldn't come up with anything. But at the end of the day, they were just like, all right, we're just going to ban Trump. And then everyone's like rejoicing in the emails and on this forum. They're like, yeah, you know, these are all people that worked at Twitter. And they're like, yeah, this is great. You know, this is great. This is great. And it's like, wow, the people that were actually citing violence, they didn't do anything about. So number 27 here, it says a few minutes later, Twitter employees on the scaled enforcement team suggest that Trump's tweet may have violated Twitter's glorification of violence policy if you interpreted the phrase American patriots to refer as the rioters. So that's how they got Trump banned on Twitter, because he said American patriots. And they're like, oh, you're talking about all the rioters. So yeah, we need to cancel you now, instead of just deleting that tweet, which, by the way, he was talking about the American people, not the people that were doing the riots. Go figure. And another interesting thing is that just the other day, Nancy Pelosi has been subpoenaed to appear in court to provide the video evidence of January 6th, and she's refusing to turn that over. And the argument is that she's, well, what the other side is saying is that she doesn't want to turn it over because it's going to show that nobody actually broke through the gates. It's going to show that the security people opened the gates for them to come in. And that's, you know, and that's what I've heard from people that were there at the front. They were like, we were all sitting down and all of a sudden the security people came over and opened the gates, and that's how everyone came in. And it's like, that's what the video camera is going to show. So, you know, it's like the only videos that we've seen so far are the YouTube ones from, you know, we haven't seen any of the security cameras except for like maybe a brief part of what they want you to see instead of like the whole thing, because it would completely unravel the narrative, in my opinion. So, yeah. It's really, it's pretty crazy stuff. It really is. Okay, so what time is it? 8:15. Let's see, what do we want to do? So we will have some questions at the end of this that I will, you know, you guys can ask your questions. We're going to have a Q&A. You can ask me. That will be on Rise TV. Okay, so one of the things we do need to talk about, Marco, because it was one of the things that we talked about in the emails, is and then we'll switch over to Rise TV, is talking about the Leslie Podesta who quit Twitter. Let's just jump into this and then we'll cover the other stuff on Rise TV. So Leslie Podesta, her and another woman was in charge, or managing, I should say, Twitter's Trust and Safety Council. They were mostly in charge of removing all of the like child exploitation, child porn, and all the other stuff that was on Twitter. And she resigned from Twitter after Elon basically kind of called them out. what's weird? And then like, so you are Marco's highlighting this further. Yeah, basically she's just saying like further update on this, like, you know, she wrote this whole letter explaining why they're quitting, and you know, and then other people that worked for them were saying like, hey, you know, I was asking for more people and more resources to block these things, and I was denied. I couldn't get this. You know, and Elon has really called them out. And, you know, it's kind of crazy how fast, you know, I mean, here's the biggest part. Instead of removing some of the Twitter hashtags that were directly involved in child exploitation, for example, one of the hashtags was Lolly, and then you can follow Lolly blank with whatever kind of word, and you would find all kinds of child porn there. 10 million minutes have been watched on Twitter related to child pornography. And these people were the ones that were supposed to be in charge of censoring that and removing it. But instead, they were censoring the word groomers on Twitter. That was one of the reasons why I think, you know, we were kind of blocked as well and censored. It's like you were pointing instead of like going after the issue, they were like censoring the ones who were speaking up against it. And we're finding that also with Balenciaga and all this stuff, you know? So Marco, can you open up the postmillennial.com article. So I mean, I was kind of curious. I'm like, her name is Podesta. That's like kind of a, you know, not extremely common. And especially if she's the head of Twitter involved with child safety. So this is weird, but she said that Podesta is her uncle. So scroll down in this article a little bit. And there is, so this was in 2018, and there was a tweet from an organization that said Bruce Hawker had a great interview with John Podesta today in Washington, D.C. And she responded, ah, my Uncle John. So, I mean, you know, and then Elon responded when someone pointed this out. Elon just responded again as small world. And I mean, if you guys at home, you know, if you're just starting to wake up to things and you're not really 100% sure who John Podesta is, just type in John Podesta art. And that's all you need to know. Most of the artwork that he had in his home had to do with children in very provocative and messed up poses, which I'm not even going to get into here. Yeah, I don't want to say too much, you know, honestly. I think everyone kind of understands, but this definitely raised a lot of alarms, you know, and it's like, whoa, you know, and then it's like we have Twitter now that's kind of that was being used, and we know 100% for sure now that it was being used for these purposes. We have Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr. Tumblr was as well. In fact, they got in some deep trouble and had to change their entire algorithm because of it. And all these, you know, Facebook and all the stuff. And it's like, you can find this stuff so easily. I think this is one of the things that really kind of hit me hard when I was researching this stuff, you know, when we were kind of first diving into these topics. And it was amazing to me of how easy I was finding things on Instagram. Now, a lot of those accounts have been made private, but it's just unbelievable. And even on Twitter, you know, I was seeing a lot of crazy stuff on Twitter. So it's real, you know, and then, and if you don't believe me about the 10 million views, Marco, can you pull up this article with Daily Wire? And by the way, she's from Australia. And I guess supposedly she had a tweet, which I couldn't find in her tweet, that said that she wasn't related to John Podesta. But it's like, well, why? And then she's like, end of story. I'm from Australia. And it's like, no, it's not end of story. Why did you make this tweet then if he's not really your uncle? doesn't make any sense. Why would you even comment on it? It's so weird. So anyway, Daily Wire has this article, has this headline, 10 million views of child sexual exploitation material allegedly watched on old Twitter report. And from what we're finding, this is 100% true. And this is one of the things when you start looking at what they were doing, my own opinion, and I'm not blaming any one of these women that were a part of this or anything else. All I'm saying is that in my opinion, I believe that there were people on Twitter who were there or placed there by very specific people that were allowing this because there was a lot of cash flow coming in through this. And anybody that was kind of pointing it out, they were censoring to make sure that cash flow was coming through. And so, you know, it's interesting because there's a lot of like we're seeing former FBI guys and former officials and everything else. But, you know, so it's like, this is kind of, it's kind of sad, right? It's like, oh my gosh, like why, like how is this all happening and blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, it's like, it's being exposed. And I think this is the positive thing that really is happening. You know, I am never in a million years would I actually thought that for one, I didn't think they were going to let Elon purchase Twitter, but it was so crazy what the media was saying. You know, Elon's like, I want to buy Twitter, and everyone's freaking out. No, you can't buy Twitter, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, I'm not going to buy Twitter. And they're like, no, you have to buy Twitter. And it's like, oh my gosh, what the heck? Yeah. And okay, let's see. And actually the New York Post had a article too that said Twitter refused to remove child porn because it didn't violate policies. And this is a lawsuit that has been filed against Twitter in this regard. So it's just so crazy. So the federal suit filed Wednesday by the victim and his mother, and this is in the Northern District of California, alleges Twitter made money off the clips, which showed a 13-year-old engaged in sex acts and are from a child sexual abuse material or child porn, states the, I don't even want to get in more into this, but states the suit states. So this is, you know, yeah, it's just unbelievable. And there's still some things on there. You know, recently I, you know, it's like certain hashtags, you can still see things, but Twitter, but it's like what people are doing is that they are, it's like one account will be taken down and they'll take another and they find loopholes to avoid the algorithm. And that's what I'm seeing. So, Marco just pulled up this tweet, how the old Twitter failed the fight against child sexual exploitation content. Sigh and more. It's like content and more. So this is a crazy thread because it really gets into what was happening with all of this. And actually, this is really interesting because it says the more we work on child sexual abuse material on Twitter, the more we find the hell left by the old Twitter management. What I'm going to tell you now is insane. Okay, Marco, go to the next one because I didn't even read through all of this. This is crazy. Let's see. What which one were we on? Next one. Okay. We found several accounts that shared, basically it's kind of talking about child sexual content, including videos of children and teens involved in sexual activities. More than 95% of these accounts were created before Elon Musk bought Twitter. Some of these accounts have been active for years, even since 2017. And I personally saw some of these accounts. There was one I saw, I even think it was created like back in like 2014 or something. It doesn't exist now. It was one of the ones I flagged and I went to it recently and it didn't exist. So I was happy about that. But yes, these accounts that shared this child sexual content acted with immunity for years. The contents of these accounts obtained over 10 million views on Twitter. Yes, 10 million views. They won't get any new views because Twitter has now taken down all of these accounts. And after this was brought up, that's when these women resigned. And it's like, what the heck is going on here? So the next one is Elon is constantly updated. It's constantly updated about the progress. 2 days ago, he authorized additional measures to fight child abuse on the platform. Old management had other priorities. Imagine that. Probably going after the people that were pointing it out. But for the new Twitter, children's safety is number one. And that's great because Elon seems to be doing a lot to do this. And it just kind of goes on and on. But the big reveal there was the 10 million views, honestly. So it's just insane. Okay. And there's two last things I want to kind of bring up here. And actually, well, there's a whole bunch of stuff to cover still, but we're going to do that on Rise TV. But the last two things is Washington Post. Eliza Blue, who's one of the women who were sex trafficked, and she's very, very, very active on Twitter, and Elon responds to her a lot. So she's responding to Jeff Bezos here. She says, "Hello, Jeff Bezos. My name is Eliza, and I'm a survivor advocate for those affected by human trafficking. I'm also a survivor of human trafficking." And she asks, "Why did the Washington Post attack me for trying to help Elon Musk remove child sexual exploitation off of Twitter 2.0? 2.0 is like now that Elon bought Twitter. Elon responds to her, and actually he responds to Jeff Bezos. He says, "Good question. What's interesting is that, Marco, can you pull up this tweet by Zalesky Luke? So this I thought was a very interesting, he makes this really weird point in this tweet. Do you see it, Marco? It's just it's okay to attack Elon, but not Bezos. Yeah, that one. So he says, so he's responding to Jim Jordan. First, Jim Jordan says, "Surely it's just a coincidence that the Biden administration is investigating one of Elon Musk's company at the same time Musk is releasing the truth on Hunter Biden." Then he responds by saying, "Elon Musk is a right-wing media mogul with massive conflicts of interest as a monopolist and a businessman in various fields that require government oversight and regulation, who is openly and not so openly utilizing his giant personal social media platform to serve his own purposes." What's so fascinating about this is that this is exactly what Jeff Bezos just did. And they're not calling Jeff Bezos out. Jeff Bezos literally pretty much has a monopoly on Amazon. So many businesses are going under. He bought Washington Post, changed the slogan to "Democracy Dies in Darkness." And everyone's like, "Oh yeah, that's fine. That's okay." But then like Elon Musk buys Twitter, which is it's a private platform. You know, everyone was saying, well, YouTube can do whatever they want. Facebook can do what they want. Twitter can do what they want. They're all private platforms and you can't say anything. Okay, Elon just bought this. It's a private platform. You can't say anything because it's a private platform then. So it's just so weird to me. And Elon's not even right wing. He's just trying to present the truth and everyone is attacking him. And it's just so weird. But to me, this is so ironic, this tweet, because this is exactly what Bezos did. And the left is, you know, I should say the people on that side are totally fine with it. And again, I'm not trying to take sides here. It's just weird, right? We're living in a very strange world. Okay, you guys, it's time to basically to leave Rumble, but we have the catastrophic contagion that is holding their meeting in October, and which is none other than the WHO organization and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And They did the same thing in October of 2019, and that was called Event 201, and we're going to get into what all that is, what it means, and why they're doing it now, and also what the Pope is saying, and so a little bit more on some stuff about Joel Roth, who was the former he was one of the chief people at Twitter that Elon was calling out. So we're going to get into all that on Rise TV. So thank you guys for watching, and then please continue watching, where we're going to talk about this on Rise TV, and please support what we do so we can keep doing what we do for all of you watching. And if you haven't subscribed to our Rumble channel, please subscribe to our Rumble channel. We would definitely appreciate that. And, yeah, we're going to play a trailer, and then I'm going to get into your questions that many people have been asking too. So we're going to do all of that on Rise TV. So thank you guys for watching, and we'll see you over on Rise.
There's a war on children, and its weapon is right in your own home.
In this critical series from Edge of Wonder, we expose the astonishing truth about how children are being programmed and groomed with hidden sexual content and subliminal messages.
Did you know that today's children's programming is full of sex and sexual themes?
From erotic animation in Disney classics to behavior manipulation in modern Pixar, from Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network's questionable themes to media, movies, and more. This is a bigger pattern of hidden nudity, sexual innuendos in cartoons, and normalization of pedophilia that can't be ignored.
After this video, you'll see why it's a spiritual battle for our children's morality, and why we think parents should have all the facts to make the ultimate choices for their own kids.
This is War on Children.
Hey everyone, welcome to Rise TV now, and thanks for watching our Edge of Wonder show. So, okay, before I get into your guys' questions,